Thank you, brother. Appreciate y'all so much. Amen. God is good. Amen. It's an awesome day to be alive. Good things going on in the kingdom. Before my wife comes up, I just want to give you all this a little praise report. Yesterday, myself, my wife Tara, and brother Bob, we loaded up his truck. A beautiful couple in the church. I don't mind. Well, I'm gonna say it. The Petricks. The Petricks blessed me a few months ago, but right before COVID-19 garbage broke out, they blessed me with this, what is considered the loudest Bluetooth speaker on the planet, okay? One Bluetooth speaker, and it puts out about 126 decibels of sound. That's like a complete sound system in one speaker, okay? And so we have been, you know, trying to devise ways that we could utilize and go out and do stuff, and of course, this garbage hit and interfered with plans and stuff. So we were like, you know what? In my spirit, I felt God was saying, go ahead and start going out. It's time. And so we loaded up. And there's just been so many people in the body that have encouraged me, have sold into what God has called us to do as far as outreach ministry. So we loaded that thing up, and we hit downtown Austin. We made a trek all through Congress, all through Zilker Park, which was crowded with individuals. And we just basically, it was just an opportunity for us to just spy out the land and devise a strategy from the Lord on how to move forward, because it's not just the only time we're doing it. But seeds were planted. God gave us some ideas and some things to do later on, but literally had that speaker, and God blessed me with a wireless mic. So I'm declaring. And this one lady was so funny. I told Tara, it was amazing. This lady, I don't know if we were disturbing her or we were convicting her, but she made it her business to get on the side of us, and she gave us this look, and I was like, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus, she looked at me, it's like, but the bottom line is we took that first step, and we're expecting God to give us more ideas, more inventions, and ways on how to be effective in sharing him with the city. Man, people, I mean, I have not been downtown in a while. It's dark down there, man. It is dark. I mean, there was a guy, literally, I kid you not, in the middle of the street on Fifth Street, cars coming. He was standing in the middle of the street, and my wife was going to give him. Sister Lou had blessed us with a whole bunch of candy to distribute. The problem is we just didn't see people with kids out, you know. So my wife was going to give him a basket. Baby, if you give him that, he's not going to even know what it is. He was on another planet. He was gone in the middle of, I'm telling you, cars coming. He was in the middle of the street and was not going to get out of the way. So, but God is changing our city. We have a declaration that Austin is the revival center of the nation. And regardless of what agendas, what things may have risen up, God's plan and purpose will be done in our city. And it starts with us proclaiming it and decreeing it and walking out to see it manifested. And so I just want to thank you all. Just continue to pray that God will give us ideas. And guess what? Y'all are more than welcome to come join us, you know what I'm saying, as we go out. But it was just, like I said, it was a blessing. Just, and I'm telling you, it was awesome to be downtown and hear. Now, this is kingdom music we playing and hearing it reverberating downtown. I was like, this is awesome. I was so excited just to hear. One dude tried, let me tell you, it's so funny. One dude tried to get on the side of us with his sound system. I had him outblazed. I was like, you can turn it up all you want, brother. I got more room to go up even higher. And his stuff was cursing and all this other stuff, and my stuff was Jesus and all that. I bet he was like, dang, I can't win. But the light shining in the darkness, that's what it's all about. And that's what we as a body are going to continue to do, is lift up our Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife. Amen.
So I just have kind of a short encouragement, but you guys can go ahead and do y'all have the slide already? The last time that I was up here, we talked about the sheep and the shepherd and what it means to be a good shepherd, and I don't take it lightly to be up here. I don't think that this is something that being up here sharing with you is something that any of the ministers in this body are reaching for or grabbing for. It's a humbling place. It's a place of, I mean, you are God's sheep, the sheep of his pasture, and so we just want to come with fresh revelation and honor, you know, what God has and what God is doing in your life and what God is doing and what he's saying. So you can go to slide 2. This is John 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it." In 2000, November of 2000, there was another very contentious election. I don't know, some of you might remember. People were very divided over who had actually won, and it was all based on votes and hanging chads. Those of you who are a certain age, you'll know what I'm talking about. I remember who I voted for, and I also remember, who my family voted for. I mean, and the reason, and when I say my family, I'm not just talking about my immediate family, because I had lots of extended family who had come in to town that during that time. And the reason why I remember it so vividly was because at that moment, I really did not care about that election. And it was because that was, my mom had passed and gone on to heaven. And so I had people in my family arguing and fussing over who had is trying to win or saying they won and did win. And my mom, we were planning her memorial. We were planning her celebration, you know. And I remember, I just think that I don't even know if she got to vote that year, because she was in the hospital for 3 months. And in fact, John, when we came to your wedding in 2000, that was in August, that was the last time she was home, like in my house, was when we came home for John's wedding. And so going through that experience, like going through that loss, I say loss, but one thing that I came out of that, one thing that came out of that was this revelation that God did not intend for people to die, for creation to die. That was not, and that hit me, like that kind of, because I just remember the night that she passed, realizing that was not God's will or plan. And people who say death is part of life, no, it isn't. That is a lie. We are supposed to overcome death, and Christ came to overcome death, right? So I just remember at that time, you know, I was going through pain that is just different than any physical pain. I mean, it was worse than any physical pain that I can ever, you know, think of going through. And I've gone through, you know, toothaches and childbirth. Well, childbirth was not so bad for me because it was supernatural, right? Like supernatural childbirth. But that was a pain that was very, 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 very hard. And God knew that I was hurting. And he had a plan. He had a plan of life more abundantly. And I would say that over time, like over, you know, he brought healing. And actually, even during the memorial service, like remembering that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Like once I could get out of how I was feeling in the natural and remember the truth and remember the word of God, oh yeah, I'm gonna see her again. It's hard to say goodbye. Like even to this day, when we go visit Damon's mom, she'll always cry when we leave. Like she's always like, you know, she'll have a little tear. It's hard saying goodbye, right? Like, you know, but even though we're gonna see her again, like, you know, we may see her again for in a week or two or three. And so that was the same realization that my mom was with the Lord. I will see her again. She's in a better place. She wouldn't come back here if she could. She wouldn't come back here. She was with Jesus. And so in him, that word, that in him is life, and in him is life more abundantly. The human race, we lost that light when we fell, when Adam and Eve chose to eat that fruit of knowledge of good and evil, they lost that light. They lost their covering, their clothing. It said, oh, we're naked, right? And God was said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the fruit that I told you not to eat? And they, of course, they had. And so you guys, you can go to slide 3. So before Adam and Eve, you know, he created this world for us, for man, for Adam and Eve. And in Genesis 2, he said, the heavens and the earth were completed along with their entire array. God completed them on the seventh day. His work that he made, he ceased. He ceased his work on the seventh day from all the work that he had made. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, for on it he ceased from all his work that God created for the purpose of preparing. So here God was in a place of rest on the seventh day. And then, as all parents know, his children messed up. And so then he has to work. I mean, you know, I'm just saying that that's usually how it goes for parents, that your children do stuff and then you have to clean up the mess, right? So after that, he's working to clean up the mess. And you can go to slide 4. So Yeshua comes on the scene. Like all through the Old Covenant, and Steve brought out some great scriptures about, you know, through the Old Covenant, all through the Old Covenant, he's working to bring redemption. He's working to bring Christ. He's working to restore what was lost by his children, right? But the thing about God is, he had already made that plan. Like he, even in the midst of their failing, he had already worked it out for their good. Like what Christ did was better. It was better than living a life. Like I'm sure if Adam and Eve, if they hadn't eaten that fruit, then one of their children probably would have eaten that fruit. You know, I mean, there was a lot. There was something that was better than living just by the law of do not eat this fruit. And if you remember, there was another tree in the garden. There was the tree of life, right? And that is the tree that we are to eat of today. And that is Christ. He is that tree of life. Now he's working all through trying to redeem, bring redemption. Christ comes. He's working to bring redemption when he's on the earth. And he starts getting resistance, mainly from religious leaders. They're resisting him because he's working on the Sabbath. And so this is what Jesus said. He said, this is in John 5, 16, 17. Because Yeshua was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Judean leaders started persecuting him. But Yeshua said to them, my Father is still working, and I also am working. So the interesting thing is that the religious leaders at that time were so concerned about the adherence to the law that they weren't being concerned about the people. They weren't concerned that he was healing. He was that people were getting healed, that people were, their lives were being changed, right? And but they didn't, they were more concerned about their law. I mean, that he was doing it on the Sabbath. That's what they didn't like, that he was changing things, that things were shifting or changing, or they just were. And it says that they started persecuting him, and they really started coming up with a plan to kill him. So God is working. He's working to bring redemption to man. And Jesus, he came working to bring God's redemption. And in John 9, he asks, this isn't on the slide, but he said, people asked him, well, what do we do? What is the work of God? What am I supposed to do as to do the work of God? And then in John 9, he says, the work that we have to do is believe. Like, that is our work. And actually, I'm sorry, that was verse John 9, 6. He said, we have to believe. The work that we have to do is to believe in him. So he also tells them that we must do the work of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So after the cross, the work was finished. He said, it is finished, right? On the cross. And my question is, are we like resting in the work that he did? Are we also continuing the work that he did? And are we being the light? Are we being the light? And you can go to slide 5. Yeshua spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I'm just want to encourage you that we have the light of life. We have Christ. He's the light. He's our life. And we, our light cannot be hidden. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we shine the light. We shine God's light. We shine his love, the love of Christ, everywhere we go. And we're doing the work of our Father. We're doing the work of our elder brother. And part of that work is believing and then representing him by believing. Like what we believe, we walk that out. As it says in James, you know, you show your faith by your works. Meaning, if I say I care about someone, I do something for them. I'm going to show that I have faith by what I do, right? By how I treat people. Jesus, he's working. He was working. He finished that work on the cross. We should also just continue shining that light, bringing healing to people, bringing restoration to people. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has never overpowered the light, and the light is unstoppable. So basically, the light is unstoppable, and I'm going to turn it over to Damon, who's going to talk about that.
Amen. Praise God. It's good. Very good, my darling.
You can put it back on. Very good. Very good. Hallelujah. So just to kind of piggyback, tag team off of what she so eloquently just brought you. You know, yesterday there was a gentleman that I respected as an actor, Sean Connery. He passed away at 90. Yeah, Sean, the real 007 to me. Real, he was a man's man. That's my 007, but he was a great actor, but he was in a movie that I really, there's so many of his movies I love, but one in particular that he was a co-star in, and many of you remember, a movie called The Untouchables. Untouchables, and it was all about the true story, the background of the Al Capone, when Al Capone was running Chicago and was just crime running rampant. You know, it was a time of prohibition and all kind of stuff was going on. But the thing about Al Capone, everybody was on his pay. Everybody was under his wallet. The law enforcement, everybody. But it took Elliot Ness and his untouchables. They couldn't be bought. They were determined to bring this guy down, and they did. And they did. And the movie showed how much opposition, even from the law enforcement, that they had to deal with, because Al Capone was paying these cats off well to keep himself protected. And it made me, this kind of was the backdrop of this message called The Unstoppables, is because I don't know if you all remember a few months ago when I ministered, I brought up a prophecy that a gentleman had, and he saw the kingdom of God as this huge tower. And there was these other kingdoms that had smaller towers. And these other kingdoms were trying to get the kingdom of God to come off their tower and help them build their tower, their agendas, their plans, all the while forsaking the kingdom tower, which cannot be broken. See, the kingdoms of the world understand one thing. The kingdom of God's tower cannot be broken down. But in order for it to be broken down, they need us to come off of our kingdom and come help them build their crap kingdoms that are going to just dissipate into nothing. Every system in this world, guess what? It's going to fail, ultimately. It's going to fail. Ask the Romans. They was going to be the kingdom that was going to live forever. Where they at? So I'm saying, we put trust in these things that want us, because they understand that we are the kingdom that will last throughout eternity. But we get duped into thinking that I got to come on this side to help build. No, they need to come on our side because we are the unshakable kingdom of God. And so we are unstoppable because of the force of Christ that lives on the inside of us. Just like she gave the background before I come up, is that that's what God wants us invested in. And so you can go to the next slide. We're living in perilous times, and it seems like everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Because if it's not of the kingdom of God, it's going to be shaken and it's going to ultimately fail. This is a time more than ever that the believers have to align ourselves with the "it is written" word of truth. We got to become one with that word. Ultimately, the enemy understands this, and that's what he wants to separate us from. Because he knows that if we come in alliance with the "it is written" word of God, there's nothing that can stop us. If he can persuade us to take another opinion, listen, another opinion other than the truth, which we know is the word of God, then we're on the precipice of our own demise. Because we, apart from him, Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. So the best way to avoid trouble with these man-made arguments that try to ensue in the body of Christ and these other doctrines that come up is to not even give them wind. Easiest way to not get in trouble is say, I don't have an opinion. I have the truth. So if you have a problem with the truth, that's on you and God. But apart from this, that's why Jesus did what he did. He said, I only say what the Father says. I only do what I see my Father do. That should be the mindset of the believer in every aspect of our lives. If we don't have an opinion, we don't have a thought other than if it's in the Word, that's where I stand. Believers don't have an opinion on certain situations. We have the truth. Go to slide 8. Dwight Moody said this, and Pastor Jim even mentioned this once, several times. He used to mention this a lot, but Dwight Moody had a quote. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do through a man fully consecrated to him, but by God's help, I aim to be that man. You know, that should be the heart of every last one of us, is that we want to be those agents of change in the world, fully empowered, fully strengthened to accomplish the will of God for whatever things that he's called us to do. And we can do it. If Jesus would not have come to do what he was able to do if we did not have that ability. I'm fully persuaded that what Jesus did, and he even said himself, he said, greater things are you going to do than I did, because I've overcome the world. Guess why he overcame the world? So we could do those greater things. But we have to be fully persuaded within ourselves to realize that we can walk there, we can go there. If we truly understand who and what abides in us, then there will be absolutely nothing and no one to restrict or restrain us from walking in the full manifestation of who we are as sons of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We have to be fully persuaded of that. It is imperative to it the full revelation of who we are in the anointed Redeemer and not be bound by anything that would restrict us to this world of materialism that surrounds us. We are in it, but we're not of it. And we're in it to influence kingdom. The Lord has invested so much in us that when it's all said and done, we are unstoppable only if we align our mindset and our attitude and every aspect of our being with it is written. That has to be where we are. That has to be where we live. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at reasons from the word of why we are unstoppable. So let's go to the next slide. So number one, we are unstoppable because of the family name. Because of the family name. You know, when you are part of a family, everything that belongs to that family, everything that is, it transpires that that family is associated with, you're part of that. And we are named in the family of God. He has called us. Look at Psalm, very familiar, Psalm chapter 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. How many shepherds don't have sheep? If they don't have sheep, they're not a very good shepherd. But they have sheep because they're the flock of that shepherd, and that shepherd is in, he is obligated to take care of those sheep. They're his. And it says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic because it just breaks it down so well. It says, he feeds, guides, and shields me, and I shall not lack. But I want to go all the way down to, you can go to the next slide, go to all the way to verse 6. Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. So once again, that family name, that's our crest. We are of the house of the Lord. I mean, yes, that's the name of our church. But even more so, we are of the household of Almighty God, Jehovah. He has placed his stamp saying sons on us. So that's the first aspect of the reason why we're unstoppable. Because our daddy is unstoppable. And guess what? We got his DNA. So because of that, we are unstoppable because it's, and it's once again, it's not based on us. It's based on the lineage of what he did through Christ Jesus to bring us in, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So because of the family name, the second reason why we are unstoppable is because we have been freed from the condemnation found in the law of sin and death. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty or of wrong for those in Christ Jesus who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. Let me read that again. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. And you can read the rest of those passages, but that's where I want to park at, is that one aspect, that what Jesus did for us, we could not do for ourselves. He set us free from the law. That's why the law was there to show you, guess what? No matter how much you get it right, you're going to get it wrong. It's one aspect of it, you're going to mess up. But he took all of that upon himself, fulfilled it to the T, and gave us the trophy. My God, what a reason to rejoice. To know that I don't, he's not looking at my track record, but he's looking at what, I was telling Bob the other day, I said, you know, that people talk about races and all this and other different, I said, basically there's only one color that the Lord is looking at. He's looking for red. Is the blood on you? If the blood is on you, then you and the family. And because that's what he did. He set us free and gave us that. I love what it says there. He gave us the law of our new being. And that's found in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life that's released in what Jesus did for us. Let's go ahead to Romans. I want to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And it says, "Brethren, with all my heart's desire and goodwill for Israel, I long and pray to God that they may be saved, and I bear witness that they have a certain zeal of enthusiasm for God, but it is not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge." Verse 3, it says, "For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. For Christ," verse 4, "is the end of the law, the limit at which it ceases to be, for the law leads to him who is the fulfillment of its types, and in him the purpose which it was designed to accomplish is fulfilled." That is, the purpose of the law is fulfilled in him, and is the means of righteousness, right relationship of God, for everyone who trusts in, adheres, and relies on him. So once again, Paul is just stating here the obvious fact that apart from Christ, there is no fulfillment of the law. There is no righteousness apart from the righteousness that he imputed on us because of the completed work that he did in Christ and on Calvary's cross. So it says, why would we even attempt to try to establish a righteousness outside of that? It's going to fail us. It's going to fail us. But it's all because of what he did by setting us free from the law of sin and death and ushering us to the spirit of life found in Christ Jesus. Go to the next slide. So number three, another reason why that we are unstoppable is because of the very foundation on which our faith has been established. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "And now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaimed to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and upon which your faith rests." Verse 2, "and which by you are saved, if you hold fast and keep firmly what I preach to you, unless you believed at first without effect and all for nothing. For I pass to you on that which I also received, that Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for our sins in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold, and that he was buried and rose on the third day as the Scriptures foretold." And he continues to go on and show how it started with Cephas and later on how it got down to him. But the bottom line, he says, this is the foundation of our faith. Now think about the price of that foundation. We're talking about Christ crucified, dead and buried and resurrected. But think about the fact that the words that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God already had, just like Tara said, just like he in foreshadowing covered Adam and Eve, he had us covered 2,000 years ago. Before we weren't even thinking about it, God had already made provision. Now, Paul is saying, think of the great price of that. And understand, that's why he got on them. He goes, unless y'all forgot, some of y'all don't even realize what you were saved from and what you were saved to. But let me remind you, and this is the same thing that brought me. I'm preaching this gospel to you, and some of y'all have rejected it. He's like, how could you? Because of the foundation that was laid, it was so precious to think that God had willingly, without hesitation, was willing to pour out his son on our behalf. That's the reason why we are unstoppable, because that foundation, it cannot be shaken. What Jesus did when he resoundingly said, "It is finished," that trembled throughout all of eternity, through heaven, through hell, through all the cosmos. When he said, "It is finished," it was a done deal. At that point comes the realization to the one that is spoken to, will I receive it or will I reject it? Or will I just accept it to this point? And just let no, it needs to be part of everything in our lives, our health, our wealth, our mindset, our attitude. It is finished. And because it is finished, we are unstoppable because that foundation is solid. Amen. Look at, let's go to the next slide. So number four, almost done. We are unstoppable because of the very power source that we have been commanded to meditate upon day and night. And you know what I'm talking about. The It Is Written Word of God. That's why we got to meditate on it day and night. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Everyone knows this passage, but do we really know it? It says, "For the word of God speaks and is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." Now, if that word is that powerful, if that word has that much ability, that's all the more reason why we need to be meditating on it. Because when we are one with that word begins speaking to us about situations and circumstances. And what most people would do because of the word that abides in us, we don't operate like that because the word is our mechanism to keep us focused, to keep us in the right direction because of the very fact that it is the foundation of who Christ Jesus was and is the very foundation of who we are in him. That's just like when I saw that and just breaking it down from this passage the way they did it in the Amplified Classic and just seeing how powerful that word is. Why would we want to even take another opinion about anything? Because that's the very foundation of power source that everything was framed. Everything in creation was framed because of the It Is Written Word of God, that when he spoke it. And the Bible even says in Revelation that Jesus is going to come and he's going to open his mouth and it's going to come out as a sword. And it's going to devour the nations that come against him. How much more when me, you, believer, when we speak and that word of God penetrates, anything that's not like it, it's got to go and it's got to line up. So we don't take in our own opinions. We take in the very source of the power of God, which is found in his word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And this is what really blessed. I'm sorry, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And I'm just going to read just a portion of it. And we know this. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the affirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, and being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, which is faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had a divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. For by faith we understand the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made of things which are visible." Verse 4, "Prompted and actuated by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts. And though he died, yet through the incident, he is still speaking." And in verse 5, it says, "Because of Enoch, he was caught up, and because of faith, Enoch was caught up, transferred to heaven, so that he did not even have a glimpse of death. He was not found because God had translated him. Even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony still on record that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God." And then verse 6, which we all know, "But without faith is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek after him." The reason why I wanted to read that, and specifically when he starts talking about the elders and what they believed and what they trusted in, these people believed God on credit. Me and you, we got the fulfillment of the title deed. They didn't see the title deed. They didn't see none of it. But yet and still, they still put their faith in assurance, knowing that God was going to do it. And he counted it righteousness for them. He counted it righteousness for them. So that's why we know that that word, once again, the power source of God's word even preceded the time division. BC, it preceded that. Because God, these people put their faith in his word. All it took was him to say, "This is what I'm going to do." And they lined up with it. They didn't argue with it. They lined up with it, and because of it, God said he counted it as righteousness for them. Last reason we're unstoppable is because of the life that we have been given by God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, John says here, I write this to you who believe and adhere and trust and rely on the name of the Son of God in the peculiar services and blessings conferred by him on men, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have, yes, life, and that eternal. Man. Man, do you understand that that life we have is not some happenstance life that we have? It's eternal life that we have. It don't happen when you just happen to pass away. Now. Now. So the thing is, we've got to draw on the power that exists in that eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. And look at the example that he set before us and do those things that he said, because this is the ultimate thing that we have to understand. It's not by accomplishment. It's not by entitlement. It's by empowerment that he has given us this right to walk as heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And so I just want to encourage us, let's not take the attitude that we're left alone or that we're left with. There is so much ability and power on the inside of us, and God is saying, rise up, wake up, walk out what I've placed inside of you. You see the ultimate price of how much it costs for us to walk in these things and to receive them. And so we've got to wake up, take the blinders off, and once again understand, there's a lot of people that would like for us to come off of our tower once again and go to their tower to help. But no, we need to be saying, look, this is the only tower that's going to survive. I'm sorry, your towers are going to crumble. Your towers that you are putting trust in are going to fail you. I can't tell you how the Egyptians said they was going to live forever. The Romans said they was going to. Where are them nations now? Somebody tell me. All of these people that try to think that there's a form of something that's going to be higher than the kingdom of God that's going to last forever, they're humbled today. They're humbled today because there's one kingdom that will last forever. And so I would just encourage you as the body of Christ, y'all, let us rise up in the fullness of who we are in the Messiah. Let us walk as those who have been redeemed and have a message to those who need redemption. I'm telling you, we was going downtown, and I had not been in downtown in a long time. And just to see what I was seeing, I was like, Lord, where are the believers? Look at this. Look at these people. They seem like they had, and some of them, that's the Lord. It's like Jesus said in the days of Noah when he returns. It's like people are going to be going about doing their thing. But the bottom line is we need to be doing our thing. We need to be letting the light of Christ shine and letting people know that this same life that we have, and I just go back to the fact that that life that we've been given, it's an eternal life. It's eternal. It doesn't happen when we just go to the grave. Right now, we have that eternal Zoe life living on the inside of us. And it's not for us to just have good, nice little feelings of joy when we get around. No, it's meant for us to put on full display to let people see that that same life they can have. And God desires for them to have it. But if we're not walking, as unstoppable believers and sons of the Most High God, how will they know it? See, somebody's got to demonstrate it. Somebody's got to put it on full display of what it is to be a born again, redeemed, sold out child of the Most High God, overcoming, living in the same COVID-19 crazy mess that they're living in. Lord, the Lord God is complete control, but all of us coming together, I ain't seen a single person get no COVID. Well, I'm not saying that to say we're something special, but I'm saying is the stuff that lives on the inside of us, the truth that lives on the inside of us, we know how to tap into that truth and live it out in full manifestation. And that's what people need to see. The fear, the garbage that's being rampant in the news and all this other stuff, people need to see there's a higher and even better way than that. And that's what God is, I think he really is saying in this time and season, is for the body of Christ, take off the restraints. Take off the shackles. Take off the things that would restrain us from walking as unstoppable saints. Because that's where God desires and wants us as his children to walk. Amen? Amen. That is all I have. Amen. I truly hope that you were blessed. It's really time. And I just want to encourage you, you know, they're saying all this stuff about, you know, well, what if the election don't go this way? Or what if riots? If we praying, all that stuff, I just think of all the stuff. Remember Y2K? How everything was, it's like people love to fearmonger, but it's up to us as the saints to say, no, there's going to be righteousness in this land. There's God's will, plan, and purpose is going to be done in this country because of the, guess what? We in this country. This country don't define us. We define it. And as saints, see, we're not of this world. We got to remember, we're from another nation. We're ambassadors. So we representing that nation. So we got to declare in this nation, because we're here as ambassadors, we're no lawlessness, no foolishness. The plan of God will be done. And guess what? I don't care who's in office. God is still in control. Just because a man is in the office, that don't mean I'm not. And if you let's break it down. God told the children of Israel, I don't want you to have a king. He told them that because he said he knew what it would do to them. They would be wanting to get, and why I don't understand why people have a desire to be ruled by another man, because that never was God's plan. God wants us ruling creation, not one another. Now, if he thought that about a king, how much more of anything? So what I'm saying is, yes, without a shadow of doubt, we should pray for our leaders. I don't care who they are. We pray for them. But ultimately, we have a higher kingdom. We belong to a king of a higher kingdom. And at the end of the day, and I remember in the word, the prophets would go into a city and the king would be trembling. Because he didn't, are you coming with a word from God of peace? Because let us know if we need to get out, if judgment is about to come. That was before the new covenant, y'all. How much more? We got a better covenant with better promises and walk in a more stronger authority. So let's not get it twisted. You're bigger on the inside than you think. We're bigger on the inside than we think we are. And if anything, the reason why the nation is standing is because we're here. We're here. What Gary Oliver said, we're here to take over. We're not here to take sides. If it don't line up with it is written, guess what? It's got to bow. Ultimately, either on this side of eternity or the other side of eternity, but the bottom line is our God reigns. Our God reigns. So, by all means, Lord, we want righteous people ruling. We want righteous people. But regardless, there were evil people that were ruling Israel, and God was still ruling and reigning through his children. He was still operating through his children. So bottom line is, be encouraged in understanding who you are and the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. Because ultimately, his will, plan, and purpose will be done in the United States of America and in the world. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that, Lord God, we would understand without hesitation the fullness of the unstoppable strength in life that is found in Christ Jesus that abides on the inside of us, Father God. Lord God, open our eyes like never before to see, as Andre Crouch so wrote the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And that answer, Father, it lives on the inside of us, Father God. Now let us, without hesitation, Father God, be willing to be those vessels that share your goodness, Father God, in word, in deed, whatever it might be, Father God. Let people see. Let the blindness and the darkness that might be on their eyes fall off like scales, Father God. And let them see Christ. Let them see the one who, before the foundation of the world, took the sin, took the death, took the penalty of eternal separation and bore it so that we would walk in the eternal life that you've called us to be as sons, Father God. Father, I thank you for every person here in this body, Father, and even those watching by live stream. And Father, we cover and seal your people with the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, his blood, his spirit, his life. Father God, we just decree your will, plan, and purpose is done in house of the Lord and every member, Father God, and even in our pastors, wherever they might be, Lord God, just speak blessings over them, Father God, and just rest and relaxation, Father God. And we just give you all the glory, Father God, that your will is being done in our nation, in our city, in our state, in our world, Father God. Your will is being done, Father God. And we rejoice, Lord God, that we can rest knowing that you have made us unstoppable through our Redeemer, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Now I speak blessings on your people, Father God. I decree, Father, everything their hands touch prospers. I thank you, Father, they come short in no good thing, Lord God, but you crown their path with success, Father God. I thank you that, as my brother Brian said earlier, Father, no sickness exists in our body, Father God. Father God, that we are redeemed from every curse, everything that would try to say otherwise, Lord God. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. We just call you blessed, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. Amen. You're blessed. Go with God. I told him to play this song for you. Yes, oh, my sister has something. So. Thank
you. Seribishi tia rotoro lo boko tarara basha tarabaka. Nenedimi sitia rondola lo kota baba sitia rosondola da la basata. Menenemo corrada da bakitia rosondola lo corra bara da basata da la baka. Yenedelemo corra bara da bashitia rondola lo kota rada da basata. Yenedelemo kota rada bakitia rosondola lo kota rada la basata. Yenedelemo corra da bakishitia rosondola lo corra baka. Yenedelebi sitia rondola lo kota rada da baka esete mokota redena mokonda redisia rosanda baka bendere do boshitia rosonda la baka basata rabaka e nono mokitia rosanda bekitia nono masete do bosa e kerto mokitia rosso toba dada basa menere no mokota rarele bishitia rosata la baka manana mokora sete do boshata.
Hear me and hear me well. You have heard the word today. This word is important for you. This word was life for you. I have a plan for this house, which I have spoken, and I have spoken. But you need to make up your mind if you're going to line up with the word, if you're going to line up with the vision for the house. You need to stop trying to do what you want to do and make up your mind that you are here by divine appointment. And if you're here by divine appointment, you are here to submit to my plan. And my plan flows through the head of the house. My plan does not flow through individuals except how you line up, what you're supposed to do to make up the whole. Hear me, children. It is time to stop playing. It is time to just stop coming to the house and not having been on your face, not coming in with an expectation that you're going to receive a word from the Lord, from your Father, to direct you to do what the Son has already prepared for you to do. My Son has already set it in place. You are already walking in the anointing. You just haven't tapped into it. Tap into the anointing. Make a decision, because I am moving, and I will move, and this house, if it's five people, they will take the city and go to the nations. Make up your mind. What are you going to do? You heard the man of God. Decide what you're going to do.
Hear the word of the Lord. I have put in your spirit strength.
I spoke to Joshua and I said, be strong and be courageous. I have put in your spirit my divine ability. Do not be afraid. Every time when God sent the angels to a man, to a woman, first words out of their mouth, don't be afraid. I say to you, my sons, my daughters, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the lies that are being spoken by the enemy. I'm not even concerned about that. I'm concerned about my children obeying me. My spirit is in you strong. My spirit is in you. My spirit is ready for you to go forth and we are so close. We are so close at the door, at the very door. Do not shrink back. Do not refuse to walk through into all that God has for you. I have assignments for you. I have direction for you. Do not be afraid, my sons and my daughters. You have my strength. You have my power. You have my courage. You have my presence. When you show up on the scene, the Almighty God shows up on the scene. So be of good courage, just as I spoke to Joshua, and surely you will do and accomplish all that I have called you to do. Do not be afraid. Be of strong courage. My spirit is in you.
Amen. I want to thank God for his word. I do not want to belabor the point. I just want to remind you, as Damon and Tara minister, a great word, something that we can feed on. Let's remember, as they minister to us in spirit, let's minister to them in the natural. Amen. Honor God by honoring them. Amen. So you know what to do. The buck's up here for you to come and give your offering. You're blessed. And I believe they were dismissed. Did you have it? Y'all go in peace. Amen.